Everybody got their Bibles? Those here got their Bibles. Those online, you got your Bible. John chapter 5 and verse 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem, by the sheep market, a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue, Bethesda, and it has five porches. In these porches lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, and they're all there waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. Now, if you've been coming to our church any time, you know that I love to preach from the King James Version. One of the reasons why I don't preach from the NIV is because that verse that I just read is not in the NIV. Just read your Bible. Is verse 4 there? Is verse 4 there in your NIV? That's why I like to read from the King James Version. I know that we can use other versions to get a clearer understanding. In fact, I love to read the New Living Translation, but that verse 4 is not in the New International Version, the NIV. It says, the angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then, first after the troubling of the water, stepped into the pool, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity, 38 years. 38 years he'd been sick, and he's there on the porch beside the pool of Bethesda. And when Jesus saw him laying there, or when Jesus saw him lie, he knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, wilt thou be made whole? Do you want to be made whole? The impotent man answered and said, sir, I have no man. I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth in down before me. You see, he could come up with all sorts of reasons why he couldn't be made whole. And Jesus turned to him, he said, rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. Jesus told him, he said, take up your bed and walk. 38 years laying on the porch beside the pool of Bethesda. Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life, comes and he says, take up your bed, rise up and walk. And immediately the man was made whole. I want to speak on this title, and if they could put the slides on the fallback screen, that would be great. But I want to speak on this title, Betwixt and Between. Betwixt and Between. Celebrating survival. Betwixt and Between. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you for your word today. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that we can gather together on this online platform, having some here as well in the church, oh God. We thank you, Lord, for the mighty move that we felt here of your Spirit as we've worshiped together in our homes and here at church. And Lord God, right now as we turn our attention to your word, help our ears to hear and our hearts to receive, and we'll be sure to give you all the praise and all the glory, and all the church says amen. Amen. You may be seated. At home, you may be seated. Betwixt and between. Betwixt and between. I heard this term this week. Somebody said betwixt and between, and I thought, that's an interesting phrase. I haven't heard that a lot for a long time, betwixt and between. So I went to my phone and I got Google out and I typed in betwixt and between, and sure enough, there was a definition for these words, betwixt and between. This term describes a situation where it's not one thing or another, it's in between. It's not one thing or another, it's in between. And the dictionary also says, not fully or properly either of two things. It's not either of two things, it's betwixt and between. Now, If you read the New Testament, you see Jesus teaching. And what I love about Jesus' teaching is that he taught with simplicity. He taught with simplicity. I know there are a lot of great theologians that want to teach with complexity, and there's a time and a place for that. But our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ taught with simplicity. He told stories to illustrate spiritual truths. He told earthly stories to illustrate heavenly principles. He spoke, although, with simplicity. The Bible says he spoke as one having authority. He also spoke with great urgency. And some people, you know, when Pentecostal preachers preach, they say, oh, you know, why you have to get so excited and so loud? Well, it's the urgency of the message that is preached. And Jesus also preached with urgency. He also taught with repetition. For all those people that say, well, I heard this before in church. I've heard this scripture preached before. Well, Jesus was the master of repetition. Someone once suggests that Jesus repeated himself so many times that at one point they say he repeated himself 500 times. And so he preached with simplicity. He preached as one having authority. He preached with urgency. He even preached with repetition. Because, you know, God knows that sometimes we need to hear something more than once. Amen? We need to hear something more than once. But betwixt and between. Not defeated, not winning. Betwixt and between. Not one, neither the other. Not lacking, but not abundant. Not defeated, but not victorious. Betwixt and between, stuck in the middle, not one thing or another. Just celebrating each day on the porch that we've been able to survive another day. And I'm reminded of the scriptures where Jesus said, he said, I don't want you betwixt and between. He said, I would rather you hot or cold, but because you are lukewarm, I will spew you out of my mouth. There will be times when we are betwixt and between. But that should not be our new normal. That should not be the place where we dwell betwixt and between. Yes, there'll be times when you will be in the process. Yes, the Christian life, even sometimes you're not starting the race and you're not finishing the race yet, but you're in between. And the Christian life requires endurance. The Bible says, he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. Sometimes we have to endure trials. Sometimes we have to endure afflictions. We got to run the race with patience. Yes, sometimes even progress is victory. Sometimes you're in the middle, not one thing or another, but you got to keep pushing through. The Bible says when we go through the fire, when we go through the flood, don't get stuck in the middle. Don't get stuck betwixt and between. You know, we can be victorious. And I rise to this pulpit today to preach to those that are here and those that are joining us online today that you can be victorious. I want to tell somebody today that we can be an overcomer, that we can be more than conquerors. We can experience an abundant life now. We can experience an abundant life now. Now, I love the old hymns. The old hymns are great. And a lot of hymns sing about heaven. Talks about, you know, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. I might have just chosen a key that's a little bit high. The other songs that say, I got a mansion just over the hilltop. We talk about heaven and we talk about we're going to meet on that beautiful shore in the sweet by and by, just over in the glory land. And we love to sing about heaven, but sometimes as Christians we think, you know what? It'll be good when we get there, but right now, it's not the sweet by and by, it's the nasty now and now. And so as Christians, we settle to just have a life where we feel defeated. Sometimes as Christians, we settle for a life where we just don't have the victory. Why? Because, well, when we all get to heaven, it's going to be good. But right now, we just got to put up with the nasty now and now. We can't be victorious, but I've come to remind somebody today that we can have victory now. You can have your best life now. You can be a more than a conqueror in Jesus Christ. You can live the abundant life now. Jesus said, "The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life." When? Now. "That they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." I want to tell somebody today that is betwixt and between. You're neither hot or cold. You're not defeated, but you're not victorious. You're not dead, but you're not alive. You're betwixt and between. I want to tell somebody today, you can get the victory today in Jesus Christ. You can be more than a conqueror in Jesus Christ. You don't have to lay on the porch of the pool any longer. Take up your bed, rise up and walk. And so the name of the pool was derived, it says, from the Hebrew tongue, the Hebrew language, the Aramaic language. It's called the pool of Bethesda. That word Bethesda means the house of mercy. The house of mercy. Mercy and grace are companions, but they're not exactly the same. Grace is where God gives you something you didn't deserve. Mercy is when God holds back the judgment that we did deserve. Now, a great example of mercy for us Canberrans was recently on Northbourne Avenue in the city, they changed the speed limit. I think they changed it from 50 to 40. And so we got used to all these years driving through the CBD at 50. But then they popped up the new signs at 40. And they got heaps of people. They made millions of dollars in fines because people weren't used to the new 40-hour zone, and hopefully nobody in church got a fine. But anyway, after some public outcry, the government showed mercy. Yes, those that were going 50 in a 40 zone, they broke the law. That's true. And they deserved a fine according to the law. But the government in mercy, I believe, has withdrawn those fines for those people and are giving us a little bit more time to get used to the new speed limit. And so that is mercy. If you understand mercy, one of the best ways is to go to a type in the Old Testament. And in the last couple of Sundays, I've talked a lot about types. I love taking an Old Testament type and bringing a New Testament principle. But an Old Testament type of mercy is the mercy seat, which was on the Ark of the Covenant. And has anybody ever heard the term where it says that somebody is above the law? Above the law. That means they aren't being punished by the law. They're not being punished for breaking the law. They would say that person is above the law. They are living in such a way that it seems like they're not subject to the law. Now, on the mercy seat, there was a covering on the top. You have the two cherubims there, and right in the middle, that little flat area is the mercy seat. And underneath that lid, or underneath that mercy seat, is the law. The Ten Commandments were in the Ark of the Covenant. And that is the law that man broke. But above the law, on the mercy seat, above the law, above the broken law, was the mercy seat. And that blood was come and sprinkled. In the Old Testament, the blood of a lamb would be sprinkled on the mercy seat. And let me tell you today, our sins were not swept under the carpet, but Jesus paid the price for our sins. And by His blood and by His mercy, we can now experience a life where we can have the mercy of God in our life. And so the mercy seat was literally above the law. You see, the law condemns and convicts us as a sinner. But the mercy of God is above the law. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But by His mercy, He holds back judgment and He gives us a new life. He forgives our sins. He waives the debt. He took the sin upon Himself. And so the hope that we have, the reason why we love to worship, the reason why we dance, because once I was lost, but now I am found. I have experienced the mercy of God, and we have hope today because of the mercy of God. And so, Is the mercy of God available to everybody? Yes. Is God's mercy going to be shown to everybody? No. You see, there is a principle that you don't often hear in church. It's called the law of supply and demand. The supply of God's mercy is unlimited. The Bible says God is rich in mercy. It's one of his attributes. He's rich in mercy. The supply is unlimited. But what about the demand? Who wants the mercy of God? And it's interesting to think that as great as God is, as strong as God is, as mighty as God is, as powerful as God is, that the flow of his mercy is controlled by our demand. The flow of his mercy is controlled by our hunger. And so the question is not, will God show mercy to everybody? Of course, the answer is yes. But the question is more so, do you want God's mercy in your life? Are you going to cry out to God for his mercy? Do you want it? Are you willing to receive it? What is your appetite? You see, we understand supply and demand because, you know, the video stores. You remember the old video stores with the big chunky cassettes? Most young people don't even know what they are today. We're getting a whole lot of videos converted right now that are in our church archive and getting them digitized. But, you know, video stores went out of business. Why? Not because they didn't make good videos. They were making great videos. Not because the content wasn't good. Yeah, I'm sure there were plenty of good movies to watch on those videos. But simply, there was no demand. The supply was there, but there was no demand. And we read in Mark chapter 10 about blind Bartimaeus. He'd been sitting on the road of life, blind for a long time. And he's sitting there day after day after day. And he hears that Jesus is coming by. And he begins to cry out. You see, he demanded mercy. He said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. You can see the demand and what happened when the demand met the supply. Blind Bartimaeus experienced the mercy of God. You see, Bartimaeus was betwixt and between. He wasn't dead, but he wasn't alive. You know, he could have managed somehow. He was stuck in the middle, but he said, I'm going to make my mind up. I'm going to cry out to God. And you know, some people said, hey, Bartimaeus, you're going to embarrass us. Don't cry out. Be quiet. But he said, you know what? Bartimaeus said, I may end up looking like a fool, but I would rather look like a fool than spend another day stuck in this condition. I would rather look like a fool crying out to God, crying out for his mercy. I'd rather look for like a fool than to sit here one more day just celebrating survival. I would rather look like a fool than just to sit here betwixt and between, not hot or cold, not dead but not alive, just sitting here celebrating survival each day. He said, I refuse to be stuck in survival mode one more day, betwixt and between. You see, God doesn't show mercy to an unrepentant sinner. That's somebody who's got their back turned towards him. God cannot show mercy to somebody who has their back turned to God. But God always shows mercy to a repentant sinner, to somebody that cries out and says, Jesus, I need your help. Forgive me of my sin. I want to draw nigh to you. And I want to tell you, God is rich in mercy. Psalm 57 verse 10 says, for thy mercy is great unto the heavens. Psalm chapter 65, 69 and verse 13 says, in the multitude of thy mercy, hear me, the psalmist said. In Psalm 86 verse 15, but thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion. You're a God full of gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. Lamentations 3:23 says, his mercies are new every morning. And so this man, this impotent man, 38 years, he had been in that condition. He's laying on the porch beside the pool of Bethesda. He's laying on the porch beside the house of mercy. He's there, and that place was a place that was designated for the lame. It was designated for the blind. It was designated for the halt. They congregated there. They were there on the porches. In that place, they were stuck betwixt and between. Not dead, but not alive. Surviving, yes. Surviving in the midst of a thriving city. You see, the pool of Bethesda was the place that you would come when everybody else had given up on you. You would go there just to survive another day. But what I want you to notice is that this pool of Bethesda was in the middle of the city of Jerusalem. It was by the sheep gate. Wealth was all around the pool. Around the pool, in the midst of Jerusalem, there was hustle and bustle. People are moving, selling and buying. But these people at the pool, they're there congregated. Not thriving, but simply surviving. Around the pool, industry is going on. Around the pool, activity is going on. Around the pool, business is going on. Commerce is moving. But there at the pool of Bethesda, they're stuck. Betwixt and between, they're stuck with all sorts of problems. Some people can't walk. Some people can't see. They don't all have the same sort of reason, but they all got the same sort of result. They're all stuck betwixt and between. And you see this man by the pool of Bethesda. He represents many people these days. They're not dead, but they're not alive. And sadly, this man by the pool of Bethesda can be a representation of many Christians. Not hot, but not cold, just betwixt and between. Not quite well enough to enter into the life and happiness of the city and everything that's going on around them, but not dead enough to be in the cemetery. They're just stuck in the middle. They're not having the abundant life, but they're not dead. They're just stuck betwixt and between. They wake up in the morning and say, well, I survived another day. It wouldn't be uncommon there at that pool. History tells us that somebody would have died every day. So if you made it through the night, you know what? You had a reason to celebrate. I used to have a boss. I used to say to him, I say, it's a good day today. He said, JD, every day above the ground's a good day. Well, there they were. If you made it through the night, well, you can celebrate survival. It's a good day. And you know what? Culture developed there by the pool. They were in the midst of a thriving city, but now their focus was just on surviving. And a culture of survival had developed there at the pool of Bethesda. You see, it is possible to develop a mentality to fit your environment. And that's why parents are so careful about who their children hang around with. And a lot of those people beside the pool of Bethesda, their mentality would have changed. They would have lowered their expectations. They would have lowered their focus. They would have been focusing on thriving now. They're just focusing on surviving. They would have said, you know what? I'm just glad. Hey, mate, I'm just glad to be here another day. I'm just glad that I'm still here. And, you know, you're still here. We're just sitting around doing nothing. Not dead, but not alive. I've come to preach against this mentality today. The mentality of just surviving. I want to tell somebody today that you don't have to wait to get to heaven to have an abundant life. But there is an abundant life in Christ Jesus today. You can get the victory over whatever has you stuck today. I want to tell you, you can be a conqueror over whatever circumstance you face today. I know that life isn't all about happiness, but the joy of the Lord is my strength. And the joy of the Lord is not dependent on what is happening around me. I want to tell somebody today, you can live an abundant life in Christ Jesus. And somebody needs to be like blind Bartimaeus and cry out, Jesus, have mercy on me. I don't want to be stuck anymore. And so there he is. The pool in the middle of a thriving city. People stuck, but just outside the pool, a thriving city. People surviving beside the pool, but on the outside, people thriving. The contrast is shocking. The contrast is so obvious. Productivity outside is going on. But on the inside, beside the pool, Everybody's just laying around, bandaging their wounds, cleaning their sores, celebrating survival. They're stuck. And there's probably no greater helpless feeling than feeling stuck. You try to move forward, but you find yourself just stuck in the same place. And I know what it's like. I've been there. I know what it feels like to be stuck, but I want to tell somebody today, don't let stuck become your new normal. Keep on going. Keep your eyes upon Jesus. Keep running the race with patience. Keep moving forward, because we got a God who loves us. We got a God who is merciful. He can bring you through whatever you're facing today. You don't have to be stuck anymore. And I don't know what has you stuck today, but God is speaking to somebody. You can relate with what I'm talking about when you say, betwixt and between. Yeah, Pastor, that's right. I'm not dead, but I'm not exactly living the life that I know I ought to be living. I'm not having that abundant life that I read in the scriptures. I don't know what has you stuck, but I want to tell somebody today that God is rich in mercy. God is here. He can set you free. He can turn your life around. He can turn your mourning into dancing. He can give you beauty for ashes. What has you stuck today? Some people are stuck in unresolved childhood memories. Stuck. It could be things that happened in our childhood that caused us hurt and pain, and we're stuck. Some people are stuck on the porch of pain, betwixt and between. Some people are stuck in addictions. Yeah, you're addicted and you hate that thing, but stuck in addictions to drugs or alcohol, pornography, or even lust. You're just stuck. And no matter how hard you try, you can't quit. Why? Because you're betwixt and between. You're stuck in the middle. Some people have made the wrong choices and made mistakes, and you feel defeated and depressed. You're not dead, but you're not alive. You're betwixt and between. Some people have made mistakes. They've left those mistakes have made you feel empty and devastated. You're stuck. You're betwixt and between. You begin to lower your standard and to the point where you're just celebrating survival. I want to tell somebody today that Jesus didn't die on the cross so we could merely survive. He came. He conquered death, hell, and the grave. And Jesus said, the thief comes to steal, but I've come to give you life and give it more abundantly. Betwixt and between. Today, this may be a confronting message, but I want somebody to know that God wants to do a mighty work in your life. If you're betwixt and between, if you're stuck today, God didn't call you to live your life stuck on the porch. And so I ask you today, what is your porch? There were five porches where the impotent folk, but the betwixt and between folk, not thriving, just surviving. But what is your porch today? What has you stuck today? Is merely surviving what Jesus had in mind when he was on the cross and he died for us? Did he have that in mind for us? No. He had a victorious life in his mind. For he said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. This man had been in his condition for 38 years. He was stuck. He had been there a long time. In verse 6 of our text, and I'm sure you're glad that I got back to the text. But in verse 6 of the text, Jesus goes up to him and he asks him a very unusual question. Having seen this man laying on the porch, around everybody else who's stuck and broken and sick and wounded and halt and lame. And Jesus walks up and he says to this man by the pool, he says, do you want to be made whole? Do you want to be made well? And you know, some people may say, hey, what sort of question is that, Jesus? He's beside the pool of Bethesda. He's been laying on a porch. He looks pretty sick. And you ask him, do you want to be made whole? Oh, yeah, Jesus, you know, what sort of question is that? Only sick people lay around here. Of course he wants to be made whole. Wasn't it obvious to you, Jesus? Why did you ask, wilt thou be made whole? You know, I was thinking about that. Sometimes that happens in church as well. Sometimes that happens in church. And as a pastor, sometimes you counsel people and you have to ask them, do you want to be made whole? And even though they've come to your office and asked for help, you still have to ask the question, do you want to change? Do you want to get out of this? Do you really want to? There's all sorts of people that got up and came to church today. All sorts of people that got up, turned the live stream on. Some people got dressed. They came to church today. Some of you got dressed, went and watched the online service. But did you really want something from God? Or do you just want to go through the motions, just lay another day beside the porch? You got to ask yourself, do I want to be made whole? And Jesus went up to that man. He said, wilt thou be made whole? You see, what you want is important. One of the most important things when you counsel people, say, do you want it? Do you really want it? And some people say, what do you mean? No, I tell you today, what you want is very important, because your desires will direct your destiny. Your desires will direct your destiny. If you don't want anything, you're not going to get anything. It's important what you want. And that's why Jesus goes up to this man. He says, do you want to be made whole? The Bible says in Galatians, God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Who's going to be rewarded? Those that seek him. Those that want it. And so Jesus asks an important question. He says, do you want to be made whole? The Bible even says, and I will give you the desires of your heart. I will give you the desires. And so Jesus says, do you want it? But you've got to have that desire, because he can't give you anything if you don't want it. Remember, I talked about the mercy of God and supply and demand. His supply is unlimited. God is rich in mercy, but do you want it? He's able to heal, but do you want it? He's able to deliver, but do you want it? And Jesus walks up to this man. He says, wilt thou be made whole? I want to tell somebody today, you can't be casual when you're in a state of crisis. You can't be casual. Jesus, the all-knowing God, there he is. God manifest in the flesh. He comes to the pool of Bethesda, the God who knows everything. He walks up to this man. He says, do you want to be made whole? The answer seems so obvious. Yet you got to think about this. Because if you think about what it was like at that time, the man had not actually asked Jesus for any help. Jesus went there. Jesus asked him if he wanted help. This man had not asked him. And you see, why is that important, Pastor? Well, it is important because somebody of that day, a beggar of those times, could actually make a pretty good income being a beggar. Now, I've traveled a lot in the world, and I've been in places where there's lots of beggars, and those people, some of those beggars, especially when you're begging around tourist attractions, you'll make more money than the people who actually have a job. And so being a beggar of that day could be easy income. It could be a very profitable thing. And so if he was cured, he wouldn't have the easy income. He wouldn't have that profitable little job that he had. In fact, he could also lose his victim mentality. And let me just get right down to the nitty-gritty here today. Some people don't want it. Why? Because they're going to lose their victim mentality. They're comfortable being a victim. They're comfortable saying, you know what? I can't help this. I'm just stuck. I can't do anything about this. But I want to tell you today, God is using this preacher today to ask you the same question. Wilt thou be made whole? Do you want it? Or are you going to stay betwixt and between? You're going to move out of your comfort zone. Oh, yeah, he got to meet a lot of people beside the pool of Bethesda. But in one moment, he could be cured, moved out of his comfort zone. You know what? That's not always easy to do. What's the answer? Jesus said, wilt thou be made whole? And he came up with an excuse. The way, the truth, and the life is standing right before him. The healer, God in flesh, Emmanuel, God with us. He came up with an excuse. He says, I don't have anybody to put me in the pool. I'm stuck. And then he says these words, and I'd love to just preach a message on these words. There is not a man to put me in the pool. There is not a man. You know, sometimes we focus on what man can do, but I want to tell you today, there is not a man, but there is a God. There is a God. Man might not be able to help you today, but my God is able to deliver. My God is able to heal. My God is able to set free. There is not a man, but there is a God. Hallelujah. And so Jesus walks up to this man beside the pool of Bethesda. We don't know exactly what's wrong with him, but his focus was the problem. He's there. And Jesus said, you want to be made whole? He says, well, I got no man to put me in the water. And so Jesus bypasses his excuse, and he just offers him a solution. And I can imagine Jesus, as he's talking to the man, he's looking at the man and asking him a question, and the man's looking at the water. His focus was wrong. He should have been focused on Jesus. And sometimes we're looking at the wrong thing. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Wilt thou be made whole? Jesus just needs to know one thing. Do you want to be made whole? Are you willing? Oh, but my condition is not my fault. I'm stuck. It's not my fault. But Jesus, you don't know how long I felt this way. Now, that's not the issue today. Wilt thou be made whole? And God is using this preacher today to ask you the same question. Do you want to stay betwixt and between? Do you want to stay on the porch another day? Do you want to just be celebrating survival? Or do you want to live that abundant life that Jesus Christ has for us? Betwixt and between. You see, I think Jesus was saying, he's saying, I can't heal you without your agreement. The Bible says, wherever two or three agree together, it shall be settled. Two or three agree. Jesus says to this man, wilt thou be made whole? He says, you know what? I can't heal you without your agreement. Do you want to be healed? Do you want to be made whole? You know, I've been around long enough to know that some people, they develop an addiction to their affliction. They become addicted to the affliction that they've got. It becomes their porch. It becomes their excuse. And this is the heart of what Jesus was asking. He said, do you want to be made well? And I asked somebody today, do you want your marriage to work? Do you want to get over that bitterness? Do you want to get beyond the sin that binds you? Do you want to overcome that addiction? Do you want to be saved, or do you want to be stuck? Do you want to stay betwixt and between? Do you want to continue living a life where you're merely just celebrating surviving another day? I invite the musicians to come now. I want to tell somebody today that we have a God who is rich in mercy. And Jesus walks up to that man. The Bible even says Jesus could see from looking at him that he had been in that condition many years. And Jesus could see him laying on the porch. Jesus could see everybody else that was laying on the porch. But that day, he was laying beside the pool of Bethesda, meaning the house of mercy. And Jesus walks up to him and he says, wilt thou be made whole? Listen to me today, church. Maybe you're a guest with us today, but just listen to me one more moment. We have a merciful God. I've experienced His mercy in my life, but we have a merciful God who is willing and who is waiting on us to cry out to Him. Do you want it today, or do you want to stay on the porch? Beside the pool of Bethesda, surviving in the midst of a thriving city. The contrast is so glaring. You got people on the porch merely surviving, and around you got people living that abundant life. Commerce is moving and everything is happening. But there are some survivors making excuses to stay there another day, betwixt and between. We have a merciful God who is waiting on us to cry out to Him. Well, Pastor, I can hear what you're saying, but how do I cry out to God? Let me tell you, fall on your knees, lift your hands, and say, Jesus, I want your help today. Jesus, I need your mercy. cry out like Bartimaeus. Some of you say, oh, I can't do that. Somebody will see me right now. That's embarrassing. Well, Bartimaeus had to overcome that. He said, I don't care. They said, be quiet, Bartimaeus. You're embarrassing us. He said, no, no. I'm sick of being stuck here. I'm sick of being betwixt and between. I'm sick of just surviving. Jesus is coming. The way, the truth, and the life is coming. The healer is here. Jesus, have mercy upon me. How long do we have to live with trouble before we're on our knees and asking God for healing? Physical healing, emotional healing, spiritual healing. How much longer are you going to do that? How much longer are you going to lay on your porch? What is your porch today? Oh, but I don't have a man. I tell you, we don't have a man, but we have a God. And man can only help you with so much, but God can do anything. I want to tell you, there are so many testimonies of people in this church today, locked and stuck in addiction, locked and stuck in sin. Some of them in lifestyles that were incredibly bad. They were stuck, but God delivered them. I want to tell somebody today, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Jesus came and he began to speak very strongly to this impotent man. And let me just speak very strongly to you today. Jesus said to him, it's time. It's time for you to take up your bed and start walking. What is your porch? What is your bed? Take it up and keep moving. Keep moving, but through the valley, through the waters. God will bring you through. Pick up your bed and keep moving. Don't stay stuck. Don't stay betwixt and between. Pick up whatever you've been laying on and start walking again. I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Can we lift our hands right now? As we get ready to sing a song right now, it's time. The most important time of the service is right now. The most important time is not the worship, the preaching. The most important time is right now. Because now you must say to yourself, what am I going to do with what I've heard today? Am I just going to turn it off and go back to my life, go back to my porch, go back and lay another day on my bed? Go back to celebrating survival? But I want to tell somebody today, Jesus is here right now. Why don't you reach out and touch him? Why don't you reach out and touch him? He's passing by this moment. Why don't you reach out and touch him? You don't have to be betwixt and between. You don't have to celebrate survival. Jesus has an abundant life for you today. And Lord God, I pray right now for everybody under the sound of my voice, those in this place, those watching online, those that will watch this at a later time in our archive. Oh God, Lord, you are a merciful God and you're speaking to us today. We thank you, Lord, that we don't have to lay another day on our porch and on our bed. But you beckon us, oh God, wilt thou be made whole? Yes, Lord. My answer is yes. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. If you haven't been baptized in Jesus' name, I want to make a time. Maybe next weekend we're going to have a baptism service. I got two already waiting to be baptized. So why don't you make up your mind as well that you can be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of your sin. Leave your past behind. Turn it over. Not just turn over a new leaf, but born again, a new life in Jesus Christ. We're going to sing this song, I Give Myself Away, So You Can Use Me. Thank you for joining us today. Why don't you seek God right now? Why don't you respond to the word? This is the important time. What will you do with what you've heard? In Jesus' name.